Hello, and welcome to Life As It Is with me, Dora Middleton. In today's segment, I just wanted to talk to you guys about basically my podcast. I was having a conversation with a fellow podcaster, and he was saying to me, you know, sometimes you talk about certain subjects that might rub people the wrong way. And my response to that is, I don't care. And I say I don't care because it's like this. Some of the subjects that we need to talk about, a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about. And we need to get out of the mind frame to where if we don't talk about this subject, then it's not going to exist. The subject is there when it comes to racism. You know, that's a subject that no one wants to talk about. Okay. And if it makes you uncomfortable to talk about a subject, then that should make everyone want to talk about that subject, because you're never going to get through, you know, you're never going to be able to move forward if you don't talk about whatever it is that needs to be talked about. Okay, so if people have a problem with what I'm talking about, you don't have to listen. You know, I tell you that throughout all of my segments. I'm going to say something that some of you won't like. And if you feel I'm rubbing you the wrong way, then feel free to not listen. Don't listen to my show. You know, just don't listen to my segment. But I don't talk about anything that shouldn't be talked about. If we go through life, I guess this is the way I should put it. If we go through life avoiding different subjects, nothing's going to ever change. And why should I have to tiptoe around subjects because people feel it may make someone uncomfortable? No. I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that. And I put that's in every segment I've done. Every segment I say, okay, I'm going to be talking about this. And I'm pretty sure there's some people out there that might not like what I'm saying, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. And if you just can't bear to listen, then feel free to not listen. That's all I can say. But I will never be the type of person to candy coat anything. Even when I'm having conversations with people in person, I'm not going to candy coat anything. You're going to listen to what I'm saying or walk away. You know, if we can't as adults have these difficult conversations, especially when it comes to racism or sexuality or whatever it might be, if we can't have open communication with one another, then what are we going to do in this world? Everyone thinks if they just turn their head and pretend like the subject is going to just go away and never be brought back up, then you're wasting your time, because that is what the problem is. That's why we have so many situations right now where people are so angry at one another, because we can't even have a decent conversation. We can't express what we are feeling. No matter what color you are, black, white, Chinese, Hispanic, blue, purple, yellow, green, whatever we are, we need to be able to talk to one another. And if we learn to talk to each other, maybe the world would be a better place to live in. But as it stands right now, it's just so much bullshit going on these days. And everyone is so sensitive to certain subjects. And I'm not even going to say that they're sensitive. I don't think that's what they're not sensitive to this subject. Hell, they just don't want to talk about it. It's not that it makes them, you know, they don't want to talk about it. Out of sight, out of mind. This subject is out of sight, out of mind. They don't want to admit that they might just be a part of the problem. Just like when you try to have the conversation about race. when a person tells you, oh, I haven't noticed, there's no racism, who the hell that's living in this world today can agree with that? And when they say there's no racism, if you can sit here and openly say that there is no racism in this world, then you're crazy. Okay? It's right in front of all of our faces. It's out there. And us pretending like it's not there is not going to change anything. It's still going to be sitting right there. This is why people can't help each other. People refuse to help each other. We have, and I'll say this, and I'm going to stand by this when I say there's two justice systems. Okay. And I know this is a touchy situation. This subject here is touchy for a lot of people. And it is two justice systems out there, because when you have two different race of people committing the same crimes, doing the same thing, and you got one sentence to life in prison and one, what, probation or maybe 5 years, 6 years. But it's the same exact crime. The only difference is the race, the color of their skin. That's why I say, and then, hey, I'll go back even further. When you have people being pulled over by the police, being racially profiled as a black person, you're being racially profiled. If you decide to ask the police, okay, what did I do wrong? That's your right. You want to know, what did I do wrong? And they can't tell you what you did wrong. Or either they make up something, or then they'll tell you that, you know, they've told people you're being irate. You know, you're going to get locked up. And then therefore things escalate. And there you go. Someone might end up being killed. And the first thing that's said is the officer feared for his life. And that's sad, because every time they have killed someone of color, they feared for them lives. What for their lives? What about when they pull over black people? Black people automatically fear for their lives, and they should, because there's a chance that they might not get home to see their kids, their wife, their husband, their grandkids. They might not make it home because someone's trigger happy, or someone might have had a bad day, or someone might just be racist. And let's not sit here and pretend like you don't know there's racist cops out there, because it is. And I say, you know, a lot of people say that there, you know, there's a lot of good cops out there. Like I said, I have cops in my family, you know. I know there's good cops out there, but this is the way I feel about it. If you're a good cop and you see someone in front of you doing something illegal, you see an issue that's escalating and you don't step in and you don't stop it, and at the end of it all, you stand there and you let someone be murdered, you're not a good cop. I don't give a damn if you've never done anything to harm anyone in your life while being a police officer. You're not a good cop, because you've stood there and you've let someone take an innocent person's life. And then you went home and had dinner with your family. You went home and you enjoyed the comfort of your home when someone else is being delivered to the morgue. And then when it reaches the news, they basically turn the victim into this person that just was so unbearable. They dig up anything and everything on this person. They have, and I can remember watching the news and a person was killed. They went as far back as this child's records in junior high. Well, in junior high, they got in trouble a couple of times. Who the hell didn't get in trouble in junior high? Who didn't? Hell, everybody was kids. That's why they made detention. Saturday detention, because you got in trouble. Even if it just meant you were going to class and you were tardy, or you were talking in class, or whatever it might be, and you got detention. Who did not get in trouble when they were in junior high? in high school. But that's what they do to try to soften the blow with what this cop has done that was not justified. They go and turn the victim into a criminal. But they only do that. I have only seen that done to Black people. And for all of you that's out there listening, please don't tell me that I'm wrong. You can email me all day long and tell me you're wrong. That's not true. Oh, like hell, it is not true. Yes, it is. It's true. You will dig. They have dug up things that have nothing to do with anything. Even, oh, well, the person stayed out late and the parents called the police, and because they had to look for them when they were in 10th grade and they were a problem. Oh, come on now. There's a lot of kids that stayed out past curfew. And the parents were worried and might have called the police. And that's any race. But they don't bring that shit up when it's something dealing with someone that's Caucasian. And we know this. I mean, this is a proven fact. We know this. This is why I say it's there's two justice systems. Because we, as Black people, we don't get the same as what the Caucasians get. I'm blessed. I've never gotten in trouble. You know, I'm proud of that. You know, not even when I was younger, I basically stayed out of whatever. You know, I didn't get myself into trouble. But not saying that these people, these Black people that's been murdered, not saying that they got in trouble. No, and no matter, even if anyone had gotten into trouble years ago, being murdered like that, like a dog on the street, you don't, no one deserves that. I don't give a damn what race you are. No one deserves to be shot down, choked out, or anything on the street at the hands of a police officer that's supposed to protect and serve. If we can't trust you as an officer to protect us, then what do we do? And God forbid, if you protect yourself from a criminal, then you're going to jail. When are they going to make these officers that's out there, that's blatantly just walking around full of hatred, that's racist, when are they going to make them pay for their crimes? When are they going to go to court and be charged for murder? When are Black people going to stop being treated like animals? When are they going to understand that we are just as human as they are? When? That's the question I have. When? I was raised to see everyone as equals. And I don't like when people say, oh, I don't see color. If you don't see color, that's a problem. And why I say that is because we are all different races. You have to see color. But what you could say is I was raised to love everyone regardless of what color they are. But don't say I don't see color, because you're lying. We all see color. Okay? My parents raised me to respect everyone regardless. Regardless. I have respect for everyone. I've been at a gas station and I've held the door open for people. And I'm just going to tell you, these are my experiences as a Black woman. I've held the door open for people. Caucasian women, oh, they won't walk through that door. I've had them stand there and look at me like, I'm not coming through that door. And I kindly shut it. I don't give a damn. I don't care. There was an incident when my grandkids were walking through the gas station door to go into the gas station, and a Caucasian guy damn near slammed it on him on purpose, my daughter told me. And there happened to be another Caucasian guy standing there, and he went off. She said he let go on that man and cursed him out in a way you wouldn't even believe. And told his son that was with him, this is, you will never do anything like this. You will never disrespect anyone, regardless of what race they are. You see a woman walking through the door, you hold the door open. That asshole right there is not a real man. And this is what this Caucasian guy told his son. This is how everybody should be. But it's not like that. To this day, when black people get on elevators with, especially white women, and I have to be honest, with white women, they grab their purses. Like you have, like someone wants to steal something from you. No one wants shit that you have. But this is the mentality that they have, you know, that certain Caucasians have, thinking, okay, they're going to rob me. Oh, no one's going to rob you. No one wants shit that you have. And I watch these videos, and I watch and then I'm going to even move back a little further, because I know it might be someone listening to my podcast, this segment, saying, oh, she's racist, she's this, she's that. That's crazy, because guess what? My biological grandmother she's biracial. So if I'm racist, then I guess I wouldn't give a damn about her, huh? She's black and white. So no, I'm not racist. I'm not racist in any kind of way. What I am is just tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of opening up my social media account and seeing police brutality when it comes to African Americans. I've watched a cop in junior high take a child and body slam him on his fucking head, a black child. And he did this because the child was, he was in a fight with the white guy, with the white child, and everything was being taped. You clearly see that the Caucasian child hit this boy. The boy hits him back, and the cop runs over there, and he sees what everyone else sees. The little black child was, it was self-defense. He was protecting himself. And the cop runs over there and slams him on his fucking head. This is a white cop that they had patrolling at the school. Now, tell me, what part of that was okay? I've seen videos where the cops have slapped, open-handedly, just slapped a little black girl like she was nothing. And continued to do it. There was a car accident. I'm going to go even further than that. There was a car accident in the area where I live, where it's predominantly white. It's predominantly white. There's blacks like me in here, but they don't feel we should be in here because we shouldn't be able to afford it. But we're here. Okay. This couple was rear-ended by a white couple. And all of it's on tape. You have black people taping. You have white people taping. There was Hispanic people there. All of these people are yelling at the cops saying, asking them, what are you doing? What are you doing? The first thing the cops do, and I will say, they said that on this tape, they said that the black people called the cops and told them, we've been rear-ended. We need you to come in. There's been a car accident. But the first thing that they do is jump out the car, throw the black man and the black woman on the ground, put their knees in their necks and backs. One of the cops, that trifling ass man, and I don't care who don't like what I'm saying about this, I'm going to repeat it. That trifling ass man took the baby that was in the car seat and threw it on the ground with the baby in it on camera. And you hear Caucasian women, black women, people of all colors asking him, what the fuck is wrong with you? What is your problem? This is their words. What is your problem? That's a baby. These people didn't do anything. They were rear-ended by that couple over there, by the white couple. Do you know what the cops did? Told the white couple they were free to go. And they let them go. They just rear-ended these people. They didn't check to see if maybe they were high when they rear-ended this black couple. They took them to jail. They rough handled them. Then the people that was filming, remember, everyone of of all different races was out there filming, and they have these white cops on tape saying, step the hell back. I'm gonna mace your ass. I'm gonna lock you up. They're only saying that to the black people. And then you hear the white men and the Caucasian women saying, why the hell are you gonna mace them? Why the hell are you saying you're gonna lock them up? We're femming too, but you're not saying anything to us. That's racism. Okay? The cop never addressed anything at these people that share his skin complexion. His fellow white man, white woman, he never said anything to him. He still took his anger out on the black people that was filming. It's bad enough you've thrown this baby. You've beat up the husband and the wife, or I can't recall if they were married or just boyfriend and girlfriend. You just terrorized this whole family, including an infant. And you think what you did is okay. You really think what you did is okay. And this is why, as a black person, I know this feeling so well, because I've been racially profiled. They felt I shouldn't have been driving the expensive car that I was driving. They want to stop you and where are you going? Where do you think I'm going? I live out here. Am I not supposed to drive? I was stopped with my daughter in the car, and she said, well, Mom, what did you do? You didn't do anything. I didn't do shit. But I was racially profiled, being a black woman in an expensive car in a very upper class neighborhood, driving home. Because like I said, we're not supposed to live the way that we live. I dare you. This is what they feel. I dare you be able to afford this place. I dare you drive that. Why do we have to keep dealing with this shit? So I feel their pain. I mean, I feel it. I can even go back a little further when I lived in Georgia. My nephew came to live with me. He was 15 years old. He's in the car with my oldest daughter. I have my two youngest kids in the car with me. My oldest daughter she's driving behind me, her and her kids, my grandkids and my nephew. And I look out of the window and I'm like, he's getting ready to flag them. And they didn't do anything. Even before he stopped them, he had already called for backup. For what? I pull over too, because you best believe I wasn't going far, because you're not going to kill what belongs to me. Okay? So I get out the car. He tells me, get back in the car. No, I'm not getting back in the car. I wasn't irate about it. I said, like hell I am. You will not do anything to my family. Trust me on that one. I want you back in the car. I said, no, sir. I will not be getting back in this car. I'm going to watch you. Okay? So I'm sitting here. So another cop comes over and he tells me, this is a white cop. Tells me about the white cop that flagged my daughter. Another white cop that he called for backup had just spoken to him. And he walks over to me. He said, ma'am, it's okay. Just stay calm. Your daughter didn't do anything wrong. I don't even know why the hell he even stopped her. This is coming from a white cop. This is in Georgia, when I lived in Georgia. This is what another white cop told me about the cop that flagged my daughter. And my daughter said when he approached her, when this cop that flagged her ran over to her car, he instantly went over to the passenger side and told my nephew at 15 years old, step out of the car. Why the hell does he need to step out the car? He's a 15-year-old boy. He's not driving. First of all, you're supposed to fucking address the driver. Why are you over there at his side? Why? Because he's a black male. He's a black male. And I dare you be in this car. And my daughter told him, he's not getting out of the car. If you have a problem, you address me with it. What did I do wrong? I just want him out the car. Where's he going? Where do you think he's going? He's going to my house. He lives with his aunt. Yet again, in an upper class neighborhood. Okay. He lived with me, and my daughter and my grandkids lived with me in this nice neighborhood that I worked hard, okay, to be able to pay my bills. Everything I got, I worked hard for, because they make us work even harder than any other race out there. We have to prove a point to, we always have to prove something. You know what I'm saying? I've been on jobs where I was hired, actually, I was hired to work at IBM. I'll never forget this. And I was being trained by a Caucasian woman. And when she was trying to explain to me my job, she didn't even know how to do it, which was her job. And I said, ma'am, what's going on here? That's not how you do that. So I ended up basically training her. And she's been on the job for, 15 years, she said. And then turns around and says, oh, my God, you know my job better than me. I didn't know how to do that. Well, but yet you've been in this position for 15 years. You don't know how to do it? Then why do you even have the position is what I'm thinking. Like, why exactly do you have this position if you can't do it? Why? Because of the color of her skin. Because if the roles were reversed, my ass would have been fired. They would have fired my ass a long time ago for not knowing my job. I mean, so we always have to work 10 times harder to get something. I purchased a brand new car. Okay. I went in with a loan. Okay. I went in with a loan. I didn't need anyone to run my credit, nothing. Even though I had A1 credit, that's how I went in there with a loan, a very good loan. And the finance woman was so damn racist. She was so racist, okay? This white woman was so racist when she saw my paycheck, because she asked to see it, and my stub. I had no problem showing her, even though I also told her, ma'am, I'm not giving you permission to run my credit, because I'm not going to let you put those hits on my credit for no reason, because I already have a loan. Oh, she turned red. She was spitting fire. Okay, then she was mad about the how much money I made and why she feel I should have more taxes taken out of my money and this and that. And I kindly told her, you mind your damn business, okay? That has nothing to do with you. I have a loan. When I say that woman clowned, she was like a fucking nightmare. She called the finance company. She threatened them. She said she wasn't giving me my car. And they told her, you know what, ma'am, it's your choice. If you don't want to give her the car, we'll send her to a different lot. She has a loan. We're the finance company. She don't need you. All she needs is for you to give her the car of her choice, because she has a very good loan waiting here for her to sign off on. When I tell you that lady, she was like that. And I, you know what? And I'm not going to bite my tongue. I'm going to say it the way I want to say it. That trifling ass bitch put me through hell. Okay. When, even after I left that dealership. Okay. And I went somewhere else. Do you know, she called and harassed the finance company. Then she kept harassing me. She told them that she wasn't giving me a car. They said, that's fine, ma'am. We told her to go somewhere else. She doesn't need a car from you. Oh, she was angry. Why did you give her this loan? And did you verify everything? And my finance company told her, yes, we did. Not only does she bank with us, she have charge cards with us. She has everything with us. We know everything. So, ma'am, please don't call us back. You said you didn't want to give her the car. We sent her somewhere else. Do you know this woman? She kept calling me. I want to know what kind of car you got. And I told her, I said, bitch, stop calling me. Okay. The niceness was gone. I couldn't no longer be nice anymore. I told her, get the fuck off my line. Don't call me again. Okay. She called the finance company. They threatened to have the law, send the law after her for harassment. They told me to go make a police report on her. She did everything she could. I mean, until finally, I'm sitting here signing my paperwork to take my new car home, my new truck. And
there's dings coming all. My phone alerts me to when my credit's being pulled and everything. Can you believe this woman sat there and hit my credit 20 times on purpose, thinking, okay, I couldn't stop her from getting a car. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go ahead and try to screw up her credit. I had to have those inquiries removed. She fraudulently did that. It was fraud. I never signed anything for her to be able to do that. But this is why I tell you, racism is a bitch. It's out there and we need to talk about it, because there's pieces of shit like her that's running around here making everyone's life hell. The other car dealership said, oh my God, is she really doing your credit like that? We're sitting here. I'm signing my papers. I'm trying to hurry up and sign my papers so I can go make a police report on this piece of garbage. But this is why I say we are tired of the racism. We're not supposed to have anything. We're supposed to be poor and destitute. We're not supposed to have anything. Our kids are not supposed to have anything. It's like for some reason they feel black shouldn't exist. And this is what we're tired of. Fucking respect us. Give us the respect that we've definitely earned and that we deserve. An animal's life means more to people than a black person's life. And that's sad. That is really sad. Well, I need to take a brief break and I will be right back. Hello and welcome back to Life As It Is with me, Dora Middleton. In this segment, I've been talking about racism and how open it is these days. To say that we are in 2021 getting ready to go into 22 and we are still facing the same type of racism. We can go in a store and we're followed around. We can go in a store and we're followed around like we're coming in there to steal. And the crazy thing is, I've been in the store and I've watched Caucasian people fill their purses and bags up in these department stores and just walk out the door. Back when I was younger, I can recall working in a department store and kept calling security about two young Caucasian girls came in, short sets, had on shorts, whatever, had these humongous purses. Had a bag of clothing that they took in the bathroom with them, came out. They had on, looked like three layers of clothes. Their bag was full, and loss prevention refused to come. Not only did I call loss prevention, a Caucasian woman that worked with me called loss prevention and they would not come. They refused to come. And she asked them, why the hell are you not coming? But if they saw someone of a different race that was black or brown in any kind of way, loss prevention was there. They were damn near fighting the people, knocking them down, cursing them out. But yet you wouldn't come and get these two that's stealing because they were white. And then they decided after the girls, and you know, they can see the lots and everything. They see the lot. You saw the little girl, the girls looked to be about 18, 19. You saw them come in, what they had on, empty bag, but you saw them walk out with these big, humongous purses with layers of clothing on. So you saw this. Loss prevention saw all of this. They saw it. And they did nothing. And they waited. I was just so curious. So I told my coworker, you know what? I'm going to walk to the door and see if they're going to allow these girls to leave with all this merchandise, expensive merchandise. And they let them leave. I watched the girls from the door. I watched them get in the car, laughing and talking with all their stolen goods. Close the door, start the car up, and leave. Okay. So I get ready to walk back. I'm walking back to the service desk and I see the loss prevention door at the corner of my eye. I see the man coming out and I walk back, get to my, to the desk. And then he turns around and he asked me, and this woman that happens to be Caucasian, oh, what do you need help with? And I told him, not a damn thing. We needed help with the two Caucasian girls that stole all that expensive merchandise that you watched steal it. You saw them how they look when they came in, and you saw how they look when they left. You saw them with that merchandise and you did nothing. You let them leave. And the moment you see them pull off in their car, then you're going to bring your ass out here and ask what it is that we needed. I said, not a fucking thing. And that's my exact words. And I told them, you know what? You're not going to pick and choose who you want to hold, who you want to stop, who you want to call the police on. Because from that day on, I told them, I'm not stopping any damn body. I don't give a damn what race they are. You're not going to pick and choose who you get for theft. You're going to get everyone. Black, white, yellow, green, blue, Chinese, Hispanic, whatever they are. Whatever they are. If you don't treat everybody equally, all races out there still, all different race of people, they still, everyone have it in their race. But when you sit here and you blatantly act like it's okay that these people are stealing, you think it's okay, and you don't do anything about it, you just let them leave like, okay, well, they stole. And then you come to us like, okay, you come to us like, well, you know, it happened, but they got away. They got away because you let them get away. That's why they got away, because you literally let them get away. So I meant every word I said, and I told them, and I told the person they had over the store, I'm not going to call them for shit. I don't care who comes in here and steal, because apparently the only people you are watching is the black people. Those are the only people you're watching. Even the Caucasian woman at work with me side by side said that's true. We called, I called, she called. You guys would not come. You saw those girls. You saw them stealing. You saw everything. You did nothing. And this is when I was younger, when I worked in a department store. Okay? This is why I say there's two different types of justice systems out there. There, you know, people that commit crimes, if you have the right skin complexion, you don't have anything to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. But I get so tired of, and one thing I learned when working in department stores is we were taught to go, if you think they're doing something, you go ask them if they need any help. Honey, from the moment, and I'm going to say this, from the moment a black person walks in the store, every person in there, is there anything I can do for you? This, that, and other. And that's why to this day, as old as I am now, to this day, when they run up to me before I even get through the door, really, do I need your help? I turn to them and tell them, if I need your help, I know how to find you. No, I don't. And if they come back again, I let them know, I'm not going to tell you. I am not going to tell you again. Do not approach me. I don't need your help. Okay? Because I know what they're doing. That's what they taught us when they hired us years ago. When I used to do that type of work years ago. You approach them and ask them if you need anything. So then you can keep an eye on them. And this is what they do to black people. And anyone is listening to this podcast and you're black or brown, you know this is what they do. Okay, this is what they do. And for everyone that's listening that's Caucasian, you even know this is what they do. And none of you on my that's listening to this podcast can sit here and tell me you have not noticed them doing that to black people. Because if you do, then you're lying. You're fooling yourself, because you're not fooling me, because I know you've seen it. You've seen it. You've seen them follow black people around. You've seen them accuse black people of stealing when they haven't stolen anything. People have paid for things. And then when they walk out the door, loss prevention is telling them to come back that they stole all the merchandise. And then they check the receipt after they've manhandled women and men and kids. After they check the receipt, you see the black people haven't stolen anything, but yet they treated them like dogs. They treated them like nothing. I've watched videos where even the workers have told the police and loss prevention, these people, I just rang them out. They didn't steal anything. I'm the one that rang them out. The police isn't listening. Loss prevention don't want to hear it. Why? Because they have so much fucking racism in them and so much anger toward black people for no apparent reason. that they don't want to hear even what their own people's telling them. You're wrong. These people didn't steal. And the way I feel about it, until these department stores, these high-end stores, okay, these chain, big chain stores, start having the backs of these black and brown people and let these loss prevention people know, including the police, don't do that to my customers. Don't accuse them falsely of stealing like that. Until they speak up, they're going to keep doing this shit. That's why I tell people, be careful where you spend your money, because if you see that they keep continuing to let these policemen and these loss prevention people and even their workers accuse innocent people of stealing, that's when it's time to stop giving these people your damn money. Because I'm the type of person, you screw me over once, you ain't getting none of my damn money. I don't need to come to your store. I don't want anything you have. I'll never go back there. And one thing I don't like is when people apologize and say, oh, I'm sorry. It's not sincere. And anyone that knows me knows, if you and I have had a problem, I've had a problem with someone, and you come and say, oh, I'm sorry. No, you're not sorry. You're just saying you're sorry for the company's sake. But it's not sorry. You're not sorry. You're lying. And the first thing I tell people when I've had to ask for a manager about something, don't come to me with a fake ass apology. It's nothing more that I hate than someone coming to me with a fake apology. Do not approach me with the I'm sorry's. I don't need your I'm sorry's. I need for you all to do better. I'm just giving you all these situations so you can see I'm not being biased. I've experienced these things myself. Some of the situations I'm telling you about, the ones that I've told you that I've experienced, these are true. I can go as far as my bank. I've been banking with this bank for over 10, 15 years. I decided to withdraw. Actually, let me go back. I'm going to go back even further. I made a deposit of $4,000 in one of my accounts. And I mean one of my accounts, okay? And then I went on another day because they said, okay, well, that deposit isn't going to be ready until tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. So a couple of days go by and I decided there was something I wanted to buy, but I wanted to pay cash. I didn't want to use a debit or credit card. So I went to the bank to withdraw. All of a sudden, this bank tries to make it seem like my check that was given to me from my check. The funny thing is, from a lawsuit I had, they wanted to make it seem like the check was stolen. So they tried to make it seem like the check was stolen. Okay. And that the check had to be held. They released it and then they released the hold off of it, then turned around and sent it over to the fraud department and said it was fraud. So I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on here? So I called my attorney. I said, is there something wrong with this big ass company that paid me? Okay, this big company that I actually had to sue for racism. Okay, I'm just going to keep that real. I said, did they give me a bad check? And I'm knowing basically that they didn't, you know, but I'm like, maybe I give the bank the benefit of the doubt. They're not that much of pigs to do some shit like this, but oh yeah, they were. So my attorney says, no, my check cleared already and yours should clear as well. I said, I know that, but they sent it over to the fraud department. They froze all of my other money in there. All of my money was frozen. Okay, and they tried to put me through hell for like four days. I said, okay. I said, well, I got one better. I'm not going to argue with any. I mean, they had the nerve to get ignorant. And it started at the bank. They had all new workers because all the workers in that bank knew me. And it seems like all the old workers were gone and all of these new Caucasians. And I'm going to stress new Caucasians, and I'm not going to bite my tongue. All the new Caucasians started working here, and other people were Caucasian too, but they weren't racist. At least they didn't show me that they were racist, okay? So the new set of Caucasians that they put in there decided that they wanted to mark it as fraud. She was acting funny when I made the deposit, and I just looked at her. I said, I'm not even going to get into this today. I'm not in the mood. Okay. And she tells me, well, we're going to hold it for a day. So if you need it, I said, ma'am, I don't need it. I have money. You know, I don't need it. It's no rush. If you have to hold it, hold it. Okay. So they held it. But like I said, days went on, and then they weren't letting it go. That's when it became a problem. I'm like, what's going on? Always, it was sent to the fraud department. The what happened was, come to find out, the Caucasian woman, she contacted the fraud department and told them that my settlement check was fraud. Okay, so it all started because of this Caucasian woman. Two of them, I may say, because of two. Okay, and I told my lawyer, I said, well, you might as well get ready, because you might have another case, because I'm about to sue the hell out of this big ass bank. Okay, so he called the bank. He called me out of breath and pissed and cursing. He says, you know what, Dora, I believe this is racism. I even contacted the police, and the police told me, well, son, and this was a white cop. He says, ma'am, we can't make them give you the money, but I'm telling you, when you get your money, shut that bank account down, because they're racist. He said, you explaining to me what happened is blatant racism. I will tell you that much. He said, and I'm willing to go there and ask them myself, why the hell are you there? Why are they holding your money? For what reason? But he didn't even have to do that. Reason being, I called the bank that the check was going to be cashed on. I called that bank, the name off the check. And I asked them, why is my check being held for fraud? She said, okay, can I get the bank number, and the check number, this, that, and other. She says, who's holding the check for fraud? This is a Caucasian woman. Okay, at the bank. She says, that check was cashed the same day that it was deposited. Okay. So when they were lying, telling me it was being held for fraud, that's a damn lie. She said they had already gotten their money. She says, "You, here's my name. You tell them to call me, because what they're doing is bullshit. And I'm the bank manager of this bank, and I'm not going to be a part of what they're doing, because it's not legal. And they know that that check is not it's not a fraudulent check." So I called back and I told them, well, I just spoke with the bank that the check was written on. Such and such. She's the branch manager, and she just informed me that that check was cashed 4 days ago, the same day that I deposited. This check been cleared. I said, so what I'm about to do is contact my lawyer, which my lawyer, within this 4-day period, had already written them a letter and called them and told them, I'm about to bring up charges against you in a lawsuit for blatant racism and discrimination. Oh, they didn't care. They act like it couldn't be touched, but they weren't banking on me calling that other bank. And I recorded it, what she said, so that I can have it in court when I sued the hell out of this racist bank. Okay. And when I told them that I was about to sue their asses and then turn around and go public with what they did and see how fast more black people would come out that has probably experienced the same blatant racism. Oh, they released that. She called me after I talked to her. Oh, I'll call you right back. Okay, give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes left. She called me back. You know what? They've released the money, and I'm so sorry. It's all, you know, the money is released and you can get it. I said, this is what I want you to do. I want all of my goddamn money out of that bank. Every fucking penny of it. Oh, yeah. And I know that's getting ready to be a big withdrawal. But I want all my shit out of there. Every bit of it. But I don't understand. What's not to understand? Why the hell would I let you keep my money in your bank and you're fucking racist? Okay? I went up there and I withdrew all of my shit out of there. And every chance I get, I tell people, don't bank with these people. They're crooks. they're racist and they're crooks. This is ridiculous. I have never, my attorney was so pissed. He said, I can't. He said, this day and age, why is it that black people still have to deal with this shit? He said, me being white, I see it. I see it every day and I'm even tired of it. Yes. Yes. We have to deal with this. And I'm telling you that story because I know there's somebody out there saying, oh, she's probably racist or she doesn't like white people. She just, I have no problem with white people, but I damn sure don't like racist. So, I'll tell you. I will tell you face to face and I'll tell you in my podcast. I have no problem with white people, but I damn sure don't like a racist piece of trash. Okay? Those type of people make my fucking blood boil. And I try. I know in some of my podcasts, I may curse it here or there. But just thinking about all the shit that I had to deal with, all the racist shit my kids dealt with growing up because they felt that they shouldn't be in these schools that they're in or they shouldn't live in this neighborhood because black people shouldn't be able to afford all this. I'm tired of it. Okay, I'm just tired of it. It's to the point we are all as tired of it. Being black in this world, that's the crime. This is the crime that we are committing. We're black in a white person's world. Because truth be told, it is a white person's world. They've made this world. It's not for us. Every chance they get. And when I say they, I mean racist. I'm not talking about all white people because not all white people are racist. So I will clear that up before someone says, oh, she's putting us all in. Oh, I'm not that type of person. I don't put everybody in the same category. I put you where you belong. So if I've hit a nerve with someone, then maybe you're part of the problem and you might have a little bit of racism in you if I've hit a nerve. But if you're white or any other race and you know what I'm saying, I'm sure you've noticed the racism. You've noticed the difference of how they treat black people and how they treat other people. I have no problem with white people. And I know that all white people are not racist. I know that. I know it. I'm not stupid. Okay? I know it. I don't put everybody in the same category like that. But that's what they do to us. They put all of us, being black, we're all put in the same damn category. You know what I'm saying? So this is just how life is. This is how people have made life. I mean, this is just crazy. And I know this has been one of the longest podcasts I've ever made, but I had to tell you all this. I wanted to give you my background to why sometimes I will talk a lot about race in my podcast, because with the racism I've experienced throughout my whole life, even when I grew up, you know, as a child growing up in the deep suburbs, my parents had money, you know, and they felt my parents shouldn't live in that area. We were the only black on the street. Hell, we were basically the only black in the subdivision, except for one more. It was two of us, two houses, and they weren't together. One was down the street, one was up the street. Okay. They didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. I dare you move in this neighborhood. Is how they act. And my mom got so tired of the racism, she knocked on every door and she told them. And I was so proud of her as my mom. She told them, you better not fuck with my family. You fuck with my family, then I'm gonna fuck with you. We're going to have some problems. And I have the same attitude my mom has, the same exact attitude my mother has. I'm gonna protect my family. And then, yeah, I will call your ass out on your wrongdoings. I don't give a damn who you are. You know, and they left her to fuck alone. They didn't bother us. You'll get the stares, but they didn't say shit else. They didn't try anything else. She let them know, you fuck with me, I'm coming for that ass. Okay? And that's how I am to this day. You fuck with anything that belongs to me that I love, I'm coming for your ass. That's how I feel about it. But until we all come to the point where we can openly talk about racism and the difference that, you know, people are, how we're all treated differently, we're not going to get anywhere. We're still going to have this shit going on. We're still going to have these races running the world. We're still going to have racism on every corner until everyone get out of their little comfort zone and stop pretending like racism don't exist. It's here. It's here. And it's here to stay until we get everyone to open their damn eyes and see that it exists and admit that it exists and stop hiding it. Until we do that. Until we do that. We're all going to still be venting and be angry about everything we've had to experience. And in 2021, there's no way in hell we should still be dealing with all this, the same shit in 2021. It's like open season on Black people. Before Black people were lynched, we were hung from trees. Now we're shot down by the police. We're shot down by racist people feeling that we shouldn't jog or we shouldn't barbecue or we shouldn't shop. We shouldn't be driving. It's like you can kill anybody you want to that's Black because they're not supposed to be doing anything. So basically, we're just not supposed to be living and breathing. We can't swim in peace. We can't barbecue in peace. We can't take walks in peace. We can't bird watch in peace. We can't shop in peace. We can't even be in our own homes in peace. We can't do shit. Okay. And yes, I'm angry. Just talking about this makes me so angry because I'm tired of it. This is something that we can stop if we all just open our damn eyes and stop trying to turn your head and act like racism does not exist, because it does. It's out there. And until everyone gets out of their comfort zone, whether you're white or whatever other race you might be, get out of your damn comfort zone and accept the fact that racism is here and try to be the type of person to help try to change it, we're still going to be in the same situation that we've been in. And that's sad. That's really sad. So I hope that you guys share this podcast. Share it with someone that might be trying to turn a blind eye to racism. Let them hear what I'm saying. Let your family members hear what I'm saying. Let them see that I'm talking from experience, because I've dealt with this shit all my life. Because I came from parents that actually could afford to live amongst people that felt that we should not be able to afford certain things. And then when I became an adult and I lived the same way my parents lived, that became a crime. I dare her be a single mother and be able to live like that. Oh, that's the number one problem. My sister, my whole family, all of us live really well, okay? But one day, her neighbors got in their feelings and was telling her, you nigger this, nigger that, and how are you a single woman and with a child living like this? Well, it's called education, is what I say. We have education. We have skills. We worked for what we got. So if you feel we shouldn't have what we have, that's your damn problem. And then the Caucasian women, well, we don't have this. How can you afford that? And you're a single mother. Well, maybe if you and take this any way you want to, because I can say this for a fact. Get off your fucking back and stop just waiting to be fucked every day by your husband. Make your own damn money and you can spend your money the way we spend our money. Why? Because we make our own damn money. We don't wait for a husband to give us shit. And we damn sure didn't go get all these kids you have so that your husband would put a roof over your head. We got education. That's what we told her. Did they like that? No, but it's the truth. You're mad because your husband gives you $20 a month in allowance. And you're mad at us being a Black single woman because we don't have to deal with that shit because we made our own money. I can't remember how many times I've had Caucasian men tell me, all my wife does is sit at home and wait to be screwed and spend my money. And don't get me wrong, not all Caucasian women are like this. I'm just talking about the ones that are. This is what their men would tell me, because I have a lot of Caucasian men as friends, and they vent to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, wow. But you cannot get mad at a black woman because she made her own way, because she worked hard. She paid her own bills. She got this big house. She has this nice car. She has money in the bank. You cannot be mad at her because she's single and she's able to afford things you feel you should get, but your husband won't get you because he feels you're not doing anything but using up his money and laying on your back. And that's coming from your husband, your boyfriend, that's venting to me. I don't know what you're doing in your household, and I don't give a damn about what you're doing in your household. I'm just going by what these guys were saying. What these Caucasian guys would come to me and ask me my opinion about, what should I do? My wife won't get up and do anything. All she does is go out with her friends and they spend my money, and her friends spend their husband's money, and this is all they want to do. Or then you got the men to say, my wife is, I'm not going to allow her to spend my money. I'm giving her an allowance. She don't cook. She don't clean. She won't take care of the kids. This is what's coming from the white guys that I know. That's not coming from me. It's coming from them, because I'm not in your house. I don't know what you're doing. Okay. But as a black woman, we've had to work extra hard to get everything that we have. So we earned it. We deserve it. It's ours. We worked for it. So stop getting angry because we have it. I was taught never be jealous of what anyone else has. If you feel that you want the things that we can get on our own, stop waiting for your husband's money. Get out and work your own job. There's a lot of Caucasian women out there. Hey, they are adamant about, I don't want a husband. Don't need a husband. I don't want no kids. I just want to work my job and get the things I want to do. I want to travel. I want to do this. And I'm proud of them. There's black women. You know, all types of different races of women have this attitude where I can get my own. I don't need a man. I'm going to go get it myself. And I am so proud of all of those women, regardless of what race they are. But the ones that sit here and feel that they're angry because they see that you have things that they feel you shouldn't have because they won't get off their ass and go get it. So they're going to be mad at you. I don't like that. I can't stand those type of women. But all of the women out there that's a go-getter and go get your own things, I'm going to get my own. Oh, I love that type of independent person. Those women are okay with me. You're independent. You don't have to wait on your husband to do anything. Make your own money. Spend it the way you want to. Be independent. You can have, just because you have a husband, don't mean you can't make your own money. But see, some women out there feel, I'm just going to sit home. I'm not working. He can be the breadwinner. Well, I love to be the breadwinner for myself. Okay. So can no one tell me how to spend what I done worked for? Okay. That's all I'm saying. In this segment, I know I touched on a lot. And this one really made me feel some type of way, because it made me think about all the racism I've dealt with, all the stupid shit, the stupidity I've had to deal with in my life. All the things that my kids and grandkids have had to deal with growing up. And it's people, and the kids are still dealing with it. You know, kids around the world are dealing with this racism. They can't even swim in peace. They can't do anything in peace. All I'm doing is I'm asking for you guys to understand where I'm coming from and see why. Stop saying, oh, they're just the angry black woman. Black women aren't angry. Black women are just tired. They're tired of the way that they are treated by society. No one thinks black women are worth a damn. But yet, people pay to have features like a black woman. The lips, the butt, the breast, you name it. Even the skin complexion. You know what I'm saying? So we're not that bad. If you want to change yourself to be like we are, we were born to look this way. We don't have to go purchase it. Stop calling us the angry black woman, because we're not angry. We're not angry because of
the reason you think we're angry because we're tired of being disrespected. We're tired of people trying to put us down. We're tired of people making it seem like we're not good enough. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I have no hatred toward any race of anybody. I was taught to love everybody. You respect me, I will respect you. You disrespect me, you will get no respect from me. That's how I am. I just want everyone to just think about it when they listen to this. If you don't listen to any of my other podcasts, just listen to this one. And really try to understand where I'm coming from. That's all I'm asking. Just understand where I'm coming from. And see why we get angry at times because we have to deal with blatant racism. Just racism right in front of our faces. And it's not cool. It's not cool. As a black person, we can't even get good medical help. They could care less about what's going on with our health. With our health, we go in there and tell them this and that. There's been black women that died because the doctors didn't give a damn about anything that the black woman was telling him, the sign, things she was having problems with, and she died right after giving birth or during birth or whatever. We are tired of having to beg for respect, okay? We're just asking if you're a doctor, give us the same respect you give all of the other people. And this goes for black men, black women. When we go to the doctors, they will write off what we say. Like, who cares? Half-ass treat us and send us on our way. Don't check you. Don't do anything. That's what we're tired of. We're tired of shit like that. We're tired of it. And we shouldn't have to go and look for a black doctor just so that we can be treated with respect and have someone that actually care about our health. You went to school and you became a doctor. You're supposed to help everyone, regardless of what race. Okay? So that's what people need to remember. Look at the whole Haiti situation. This government helps anybody and everybody, every race of people. But the Haitians, look at what they're doing. Look at how they're treating these people. And then to see the people on the horses with the whips, you're whipping? Last time I checked, hell, slavery was over. Who the fuck do you think you are to ride up on your horse with this smirk on your damn face while you're whipping these women and these men that's holding these kids? Who the hell do you think you are? They should be under the fucking jail. Oh, they enjoyed that shit too much. But where's our government when Haiti needs our help? Where are they at? You help everybody else? But you're letting these people be in water. They're starving. They're drowning. You're beating them. No one's saying anything. It's like it's okay. It's like it's okay. Where's our president? When is he going to say, what the fuck is this? I want those guys, they need to be charged for what they did. But no one cares. Why? Because black lives don't matter. No one cares. I haven't heard anything about the situation with anyone saying shit about the situation with Haiti. Only people talking about it is us, black people on social media. We're demanding that they do something to help these people. But they don't care. They're not doing shit. They don't care. I've never seen such a happy face on a white guy when he was hitting those black people, those Haitians with the whips. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? And nobody has a problem with that but us black people. We're the only ones that got a problem with what the hell they did to our people. No one seems to think that that shit was foul, but it was very foul. It was very, very foul. And I'm very angry. How about let the tables be turned and someone puts a whip to your ass?
so you can see how it feels, so you can see how the hell our ancestors felt. And here we are in 2021 and your sick ass is trying to do the same shit again. Who gave you the fucking right? Who gave you the right to pull out a whip and start beating on our people? Those are the questions we want answered. Now, when somebody's ready to answer those damn questions, please feel free to do so. I just wanted to give you all some things to think about. All these situations here. Just think about it. Just listen to this podcast and think about it. And wonder. So now you won't wonder why we stay so fucking mad. Why we say there's different justice systems. Why we say people don't give a damn about us. Why we say black lives, they act like black lives don't matter. But damn it, every black life matters. And I sit here and I tell people, we're all human. Okay, regardless of race. We all matter. And when we say black lives matter, we're not saying your life don't matter. We're just saying our lives are being taken. Our lives, we are dealing with shit, okay? So when people are yelling, saying about black lives, we're not saying that no one's life does. When people come back, all lives matter. Yes, all lives does matter, but all lives aren't being taken on the side of the highway or on the street. You're not being choked out. No one's knee is in your neck. So yes, all lives do matter. But at the present time, we're talking about our black lives because no one seems to think that they matter. We don't matter. That's what we're saying. That's why people get angry when we say black lives matter and someone come behind us and say, well, black lives, all lives matter. No one said your life didn't matter. You're not the ones being shot down and choked out and killed on the street at the hands of the police, at the hands of just racist white men running around like they're in the Wild Wild West killing black people. You all aren't dealing with that. So that's why we're saying Black Lives Matter, because they don't seem to think that it does. That's what we're saying. So I wanted to clarify that. Okay, so for anyone who's listening to my podcast and have a problem with what I said, I just wanted to clarify all of that. Okay, so it won't be any misunderstandings. But I know I've taken up too much of your time. I'm going to go and have me a cup of tea and relax. But I hope for all of you that's listening to my podcast, I hope that you share it. Share it and let anyone listen to it that don't understand how deep this racism is rooted. Okay. And that don't understand where we're coming from when we say we're angry and we're tired, because I've tried to clarify it. I've tried to break it down and let you understand what we've been dealing with as a black race. So yes, please do share this podcast with as many people as possible, black, white, yellow, purple, blue, whomever, your friends, your family, your kids. You let whoever listen to this that needs to get an understanding of why we feel the way that we do. Okay? And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Life As It Is with me, Dora Middleton. And until next time, take care.